Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and you're listening to Daily in the Word. The Christian life is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Knowing Him, hearing His voice, sharing Him with others, and seeking to please Him becomes our consuming focus. Having Jesus by our side will truly make the difference. If you find yourself in need of spiritual direction, then I encourage you to stay with us for today's message.
Letting God take the wheel of your life can often seem difficult, especially when life is tough and you're not sure where the road may lead. But if you choose to trust Him, you'll find the peace, contentment, and love that only Jesus Christ can offer. That is why we are in a series entitled Highway 1. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series will challenge you to give God your all, to put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of your life, and to take your hands off the steering wheel. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Following the Road Signs.
This morning, as we open up the Word of God, we're going to learn how to follow some of the road signs that every one of us need to understand for the direction of our Christian life. Well, you know, many people make a journey in their life based upon family history. And many people ride along with family history. Their family history may have had no religion. Their family history may have been Baptist or Catholic or some other type of a religion. And the fact of the matter is that most folks just kind of go along with whatever they saw, but they never take the time to make their own journey, to study the directions themselves, and to make sure that they're headed in the right way according to the Word of God. And how many of you would agree with me that in most journeys we take, without proper signage, we would be lost? I mean, if there wasn't good directions along the way, we would be lost and without our way. And most men are like me. We would rather floss a crocodile than ask for directions. And so we appreciate seeing signs along the way that might help us get to our desired haven. Well, this morning I want to take a few moments and I want to just give to you a synopsis of the Christian journey and the way the Lord has directed us in the Christian life. I want you to notice, first of all, God wants all of us to take note of the freeway entrance. There is an entrance into the Christian life, and someone needs to ask the question, how does it all get started? Some people say, well, I'm a Christian because I was born in America and the money says one nation under God. And some people say I'm a Christian because my parents were Christians. But really, how do we get started in the Christian life? And I believe the first thing we must consider as we contemplate the matter of the Christian life is this question: what is the destination? What is my destination? Where do I want to go spiritually? And if your destination is an eternal relationship with God, if your destination ultimately is a home in heaven, the Bible tells us that the entrance into this destination is very clear. And the destination, if it is the Lord Jesus Christ, will always be found through a relationship with Him. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now that's what Paul was saying here in Colossians 2. Notice Colossians 2 and verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And so, as we consider the beginning point of the Christian life, the entrance into this journey is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone receives the Lord Jesus Christ, they're entering into a relationship and they're beginning their journey spiritually speaking. The Bible speaks of that as well in 1 John 5 and verse 11. It says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So the entryway to the entire relationship with God, to eternal life in heaven, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone has never accepted Christ as their Savior, they're not even on the freeway yet. They haven't even begun the journey spiritually according to the Word of God. And so we must consider, as we begin the journey, what is my destination? Where am I wanting this life and this eternal life to take me? And if someone says, I want a relationship with God, the Bible is clear, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And so the freeway entrance involves our understanding and considering the destination. Where do I want to go spiritually? Now, when we say, I want to go into a relationship with God, I want to spend eternity in heaven, that brings us then to a decision. And notice the decision that was made by the people who lived in Colossae. The Bible says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Would you say those words with me, please? Received Christ Jesus the Lord. One more time. Received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, they obviously heard the gospel presented. They were told that a destination to a relationship with God was available, but they had to make the decision to receive. God is not going to force anyone to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a decision that is made by an individual. Notice in John 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when someone believes on the name of the Son of God, at that moment they become a son of God and they enter into the family of God. They have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we see a decision that is made to receive Christ as Savior. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Timothy Dwight, the first president of Yale, simply said it this way. Christ is the only, the true, the living way of access to God. Give up yourselves, therefore, to Him with a cordial confidence, and the great work of life is done. Think of this, as the man spoke in the late 1700s, Christ is the only, the true, the living way to have access to God. As the president of Yale said something that has been long forgotten by many in the halls of Yale, we hear, though, the voices of the past, and we hear the voice of the Scripture reminding us that the way to enter into a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we study the passage today, we see not only how to enter into the Christian life, but I want you to notice, secondly, with me this morning, God then wants us to merge into a life of growth once we have entered into this free way of salvation. Notice in verse 7 what the Bible says. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, God says once we're saved, once we've entered into the relationship with Jesus Christ, He wants us now to merge into, or to be rooted into and grounded into, a relationship with Him. He wants us to grow in the Christian life. Now, I don't know about you, merging is sometimes challenging for me. I mean, it's one thing to go around the ramp and to start onto the freeway, but getting into the right lane, that sometimes takes a little bit of work, a little bit of practice. I saw a bumper sticker once that said, never get in the way of a car that needs extensive body work. And that certainly is true if you think about it. And have you ever noticed that anyone going slower than you is an idiot, and anyone going faster than you is a maniac? And here you are, surrounded by these cars going slower and faster, and you've got to merge and try to get to the right spot for the rest of your journey. Well, even as a driver carefully selects his rut or his lane, God says, I want you to find a place where you are growing. I want you to merge into that way of spiritual growth. And let me tell you two ways to do that. First, we want to merge to His leading. We want to merge to His leading. We want to follow His leading in our life. Even as the root system of a plant will go to the water, God says, I want you to merge with me. I want you to find a place of rootedness in me. Now, Colossians speaks of it. 2 Peter speaks of it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the life has begun at salvation. Now he wants us to grow. He wants us to be rooted so that when the storms of life come, we're not utterly destroyed, but we can remain standing because we have a faith that is built around the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growth is the product of hearing the Word of God. Growth is the product of obeying the Word of God and learning how to walk in the steps of the Lord. Jesus describes it with the use of plant life and sometimes with the use of the vine and the branches. Notice in John 15 and verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me and in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, folks, you talk about a GPS system or a good car or a good engine, but Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So it's not a matter of believing on Christ and entering into a relationship and then just forgetting him, but now it's a matter of merging to his ways and following his leading and recognizing, Lord, I need you every single day. I want to be rooted and grounded in you. And the Bible says we're to be rooted and built up in him. And then notice it says there in verse 7, established in the faith, established in the faith. So many Christians wander back and forth because they don't know what the Bible says and they've not been established in their faith. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He says, I want you to continue in the faith that you began when you entered into that relationship with back when. You know, here at Lancaster Baptist, we have something called discipleship, and you can learn about it through your adult Bible classes. And every Wednesday night, there's an opportunity for people who have begun this journey by receiving Christ to learn how to merge into the faith. And they can sit down with someone at a table and have a cup of coffee on Wednesday night, and they can learn about the doctrine of prayer. They can learn about the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer and the inerrancy of the scriptures. And they can understand more about the Christian life by being discipled and grounded in their faith. You see, God says, I want you to merge to my leading in your Christian life. And that's what we're doing today. We're growing in the Christian life. Then secondly, he wants us to merge to his truth. He wants us to learn how to merge to his truth. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 7 once again, it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now, I want you to know this morning that the faith of the Christian life can be known and understood by someone who wants to learn it. I know there are those who misinterpret. They take verses out of context, and whole denominations have been established by scriptures wrestled out of context. But God says, I don't want you to make it that hard. I want you to be grounded in the faith. I heard about a car that was driving very slowly down the freeway, and in fact, they were going 26 miles an hour. And so a police officer pulled them over, and as they got out of the car and the police officer talked to the man, he said, what are you doing? He said, you're only driving 26 miles an hour. And the man said, well, officer, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm obeying the law. And the officer said, well, you can get a ticket for going too slow as well as too fast. The speed limit on this road is 55 miles an hour. And the man said, oh, he said, I don't think so. He said, I saw a sign right back there. It said 26. And the officer said, 26? He said, mister, that's Interstate 26. That's not the speed limit 26. That's the Interstate 26. And the driver leaned back and went, oh, man. And when he leaned back, the officer looked in the back seat, and there was someone just as terrified as they could possibly be, seated back there, absolutely frozen. The officer said, what in the world is wrong with her? What happened to her? And the driver said, I don't know. She's been that way ever since we got off of Interstate 160. Now, just because someone misinterprets the Bible doesn't mean the Bible isn't true. You see, there are those who misinterpret the Word of God, but the fact is the Bible can be known by those who are hungry to know it. The Bible says in Acts 20:32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Did you hear that phrase? The word of His grace, which is able to build you up. You want to grow as a Christian? You want to strengthen your faith? This book can build you up. It will strengthen you and develop you. And God says, "I want you to follow my truth." Now, two truths that are under attack today that we must stand for in this hour. First, the truth concerning the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth about Jesus. What is the truth? Look, if you would, at verse 9 and listen to what it says. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, the centerpiece of our faith is the simple fact and truth that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was conceived in Mary of the Holy Ghost. Hence, He was the Son of God. Now, this is the truth that is attacked more than any other truth. People will acknowledge Jesus as a prophet. They'll acknowledge Him as a teacher. But they will not allow the Christian to say that He is the Son of God. Author Dan Brown, in his many different novels, has attacked, really, the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. He has even asserted that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and has spent many, many pages trying to somehow undermine the truth of who Jesus really is. In the Da Vinci Code, Brown claims that it was Constantine at the Council of Nicaea who declared the divinity of Jesus Christ. And he says that until that moment, that no one ever saw Jesus as anything more than a prophet, if you will. The truth of the matter is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, later on Polycarp, Ignatius, and many other early church fathers all believed before the Council of Nicaea that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They worshiped Him as the creator of the world. Even the prophets of the Old Testament saw this to be the fact. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. And this was who Jesus Christ was and who He is today. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." In John chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus Christ, as He had resurrected from the grave, showed Himself alive to His disciples. And as they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, many were immediately convinced, but Thomas was a little bit skeptical. And as Thomas went and finally came close to the Lord Jesus Christ and touched the scars in His hand and felt His side where the Roman soldiers had pierced Him, Thomas simply said to Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." And Jesus did not say, "Thomas, don't call me God." Jesus received that worship because Jesus Christ is God. You see, we must receive the truth concerning the Savior. We must receive the truth concerning the Scriptures. The Bible speaks very clearly, and history has established the fact of the power and the indestructibility of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, the Bible is a God-breathed book, and it is not the collection of man's opinions, but the Holy Spirit of God moved on the authors as they wrote and gave to us the revelation of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 that we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Scripture guide and direct us. And so a man or woman, when he receives Christ or she receives Christ, enters into a relationship and they have freeway entrance. The journey has begun. There is new life in Christ. But once we receive Christ, we need to begin merging to His truth, rooted and grounded in the truth. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding who Jesus is, understanding what the Bible says. That's how the journey really gets going in the Christian life. Many of you have been saved, you've been through discipleship, you're growing in your personal devotions, your church attendance, and that is the design of God, to grow in the Christian life. But I want to share a third thought with you this morning, And that is that along the way of our Christian journey, there are some dangers. And I want you to consider with me, thirdly, the fact that every one of us need to beware of loose gravel. You know, as you're traveling along the road, you're going to find there's some caution signs. Sometimes it's construction. Sometimes it's something else that's going to face you. But I want to speak to you about some of the loose gravel that we can face in the Christian life this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8 of our text. And notice what it says. What's the first word say? Beware. All right. The Holy Spirit saying, listen, you've received Christ and you're growing and being rooted, but I want you to beware of something. You're on your journey, but I want you to beware. What are we to beware of? Notice, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, the word spoil means to carry off. And I don't know if you've ever been on a country road where maybe you hit some gravel, or maybe you've had to swerve off the freeway and get into some gravel. But I'm going to tell you right now, gravel can carry you off quicker than you really want to think about. It can take you right out of action in just a moment. And the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you or carry you off. And notice it says specifically, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Philosophy represents man's best ideas. And we all have philosophies in our lives, but when it comes to the spiritual journey with Christ, our philosophy needs to be rooted in the Word of God. Now, what are some of the philosophies of men that will take us into loose gravel and destruction? There are many. I'll name a few this morning as we are told to beware the philosophies of men that would hinder our spiritual life. I think of the philosophy of agnosticism. There are many agnostics in America today. An agnostic teaches you can't know who God is. They essentially invite people to divide their loyalty for Jesus Christ with lesser deities and to say that no one is for sure who God is, and so there's a potential that God is in all of these other beliefs. Agnostic man attempts to find God in his own way and denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the way to salvation. Gnosticism will say that Jesus can help us, but that he's not necessarily the way of salvation. There's another philosophy that's prevalent today, and that philosophy is the philosophy of pluralism. And even as the agnostic man says, you can't really know for sure who God is, the pluralist says something like this: all religions are about the same in their veracity and in their ways, and all religions can give us access to God. And so pluralism promotes religious diversity. Pluralism speaks in terms of every religion being just as good, and many, many ways to heaven. And America increasingly is becoming a pluralistic nation. And it is the politically correct way. It is the way that many religious organizations have chosen. But the problem with that, if you're a Christian, is John 14:6. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And so the fact of the matter is, when you are a part of a belief system, when you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, then to be able to say, I am the way, but every other way is just about the same, is not going to happen. The fact of the matter is that the claims of Jesus Christ are very exclusive. The philosophy of men says, yeah, all religions about the same. But the truth of Christ is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Says it also, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, my friends, when you think about the idea of pluralism in contrast with the scriptures are very clear that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's another philosophy, the philosophy of polytheism. You know what that one is. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. It's similar to pluralism. And in fact, some modern-day pluralists have had Eastern religion affecting their concept. Polytheism has come in to dominate their thinking process. But Isaiah 43 and verse 10 says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. There is one God, not many gods. The Bible declares there is one God, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Highway 1. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chappell. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.